Entering the ray.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, Tuesday, August number 7 in the year of our Lord 2018, and it is going to be another hot day. Folks, it is so steamy. And we're not used to this kind of hot state. Now, this, you know, you folks down there in Louisiana and the bayou and stuff, out there in the swamp, I guarantee you're going to sweat when you get out there, uh-huh. Did anybody ever try to watch that show, The Swamp People of whatever it was, whatever? I can't watch it. Not because it's not interesting, because first of all, I think those people are nuts. You know, they're your modern day alligator wrestlers. They go hunting for alligators. What they do sometimes is just nuts. I can't watch it simply because I do not want to have to read subtitles to understand what the hell they're saying. They're supposed to be speaking English, and I can't. I cannot understand a word. I can't understand a word they're saying. Hey, can you speak English? Oh, I am speaking English. What's wrong with you? You don't understand English. I mean, it's a dialect that is very difficult, at least for me. I don't know about anybody else. I watch enough programs where there are subtitles to it, because they're not dubbed. They need to dub what is the name of that show? Those swamp people, Louisiana, whatever. That bayou accent is real, folks. These folks aren't making it up. It is real, and it is one hard accent or dialect of the English language to understand if you're not born there. I guess it's just weird. I held nothing. I think they're funny. I think they're crazy for doing what they do. But, hey, you know, there are a lot of people that do crazy things for a living. I hold no animosity whatsoever. Hey, I give them props for doing what they do. I just can't watch them because I can't understand them. That'd be one thing if they were, you know, if they were speaking Japanese or Czechoslovakian or something. But they're supposed to be speaking English, and I can't understand them. That's about as bad as sometimes watching a British show. And they get talking and they get little, their words get sped up a little bit because they get a little bit excited and they get into the real English, you know, accent and they start talking soft and not moving their jaw at all. And I'm like, what the hell did they just say? I was watching something like that last night. I looked at my cat and said, do you understand what the hell he just said? He is speaking English. I have no idea. And of course, they don't have subtitles available for programs like that. But they probably should. But I can't watch a program like, I don't want to, they're speaking English, I don't want to have subtitles. Sometimes they do have they have programs where the person is speaking English, but the accent is, and they're supposed to be American, but the accent is so bad, from wherever they happen to be, that they actually put a subtitle in. It's an amazing thing. But that's in America, though. It shows our diversity, by the way. massive diversity in this country. I'm proud to be an American because of that alone. It's awesome, man. You can go to so many different places in the country and experience something different. You don't have to travel abroad. I mean, trust me, I like traveling abroad. But you don't have to get some massively different experiences. No, it was not culture shock. I know I've been asked this question before. When you went to San Francisco, was that culture shock? No, it wasn't culture shock because I do this kind of thing, so I'm very familiar with what it's like out there. But I got to tell you, actually experiencing it firsthand. Now, back when I was in San Francisco, what, 2013, 2014, I went to California and just the vacation. I've been to California many times. You know, I've been out there speaking quite a few times. But just the vacation, I've been out there twice. And both times, I was stunned at that particular point in time by the amount of homeless on the street. It was stunning. Now, San Francisco is a wonderful leftist enclave. They try to do everything by the leftist book. And now I'm told that the homelessness out there and the homeless population is worse than it was 4 and 5 years ago. To the point, at least when I was there, there wasn't feces in the streets. There weren't empty or dirty used needles strewn about. It wasn't that bad yet. And I have a friend that lives outside of San Francisco. He's asking me when I'm coming back out to visit. And I said, not until they clean it up. And he's like, yeah, I know what you mean. I actually almost rented an apartment in San Francisco, but then I realized it was getting so bad that I just decided to stay where I am. And by the way, he's an actor. He didn't go out there to be an actor. He was an educator. He went to school to be an educator, and then he gets a job in San Francisco. Gets out there. I guess he got bit by the acting bug, and he's doing okay. He's doing a lot of commercials and stuff, I guess, right now. I mean, he's not getting famous. He's not getting huge roles, but he's making a living enough where he's actually getting paid. I think he said that last year he made a little bit more as an actor than he would as a – he quit being a teacher. So he made a little bit more as an actor than he would have made as being a teacher, and he's just having a ball. So, hey, go right ahead. Do that. Do I ever expect him to be an A-lister star? To be honest with you, no, I don't. Will he continue to probably make a living and probably get better at it, in commercials and small parts and that kind of thing, character act, the part – probably. I think he's doing an off Broadway play, but he's being paid for it out there this fall. Good luck to him, by the way. No, I'm not taking a trip out there just to see it. If you're listening, I'm not taking a trip out there to see you. Sorry. You're gonna have to move. You're going to have to move, buddy. But anyway, good break a leg, as they say. The first time I was there, he was giving us a tour of the city, and he's like, no, we don't go in that neighborhood. Well, I mean, it looks historical, looks pretty. No, we don't go in that neighborhood. I didn't realize until I was on the ground just how dangerous San Francisco is. I think I've relayed this story to people on the air here before, but literally, one night, walking down the street, we were heading to a night spot. It was too early for night clubbing, really, but we were going to a night spot where one can get an adult beverage. And, you wanted to taste some of the good stuff that California has to offer, which includes wine and a couple of, different types of hard stuff. So he knew of a place that we should go. So we were walking there because San Francisco is a very walkable city if you know where to walk. So we're walking down one of the main boulevards, and all of a sudden, like a scene out of a movie, I kid you not, the second floor, some guy comes flying through balcony doors No, they didn't. They, you know, the sliding glass doors, they didn't open them. He literally broke through them. Now, it's like the Romeo and Juliet. It's like a, what do they call it, Juliet balconies? Well, it's a small balcony. So he gets, didn't realize he was thrown until later, but pay attention here. He comes flying through those glass windows, flips over the railing, and lands on the sidewalk on his back. Moaning and groaning, you can see the guy trying his damnedest to get up. In the meantime, there are two little stores, two little bodegas. One is it looks like it's owned by Arabics, and another one looks like it's owned by Asians. Right on cue, they come outside. They close their stores. You know, the gates that people have, the storefronts have, they both close them. They lock the doors and turn out the lights. And my friend is saying, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. And I happen to look up at the balcony. He says, don't pay attention. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Is this a movie? And no joke, there are two big guys looking down to see where this guy has gone. And they turn around and you hear them. And he's like, we got to go. So me being as naive as I am, thinking, are you crazy? There is a cop on a bicycle giving somebody a ticket. No, he's a cop, not a meter maid. He's a cop. I say, we got to tell him. I tell the cop, quickly relay what's going on. He gives me doe eyes. It takes, it seems like, 30 seconds for him to react. And then he's like, I'll check it out. And he was very hesitant. And then he gets on his radio and calls for potential, you know, for backup, I guess. And then I'm thinking, wait, I'm in a movie. This does not happen in real life. And my friend is pulling on my arm, so let's go get a drink. And I'm thinking, did you just not see what we just saw? Well, evidently that's a pretty common occurrence. And just like in New York City, where New York City, New Yorkers used to just pass by people screaming, help, help. Well, he was kind of acting the same. Well, he is from the East Coast. So just saying. It the most surreal thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life. I swear it was just like watching a movie. Who does that? This stuff only happens in movies. Well, evidently not in San Francisco. I guess San Francisco is a movie. So no, I will not be returning until they clean up their act. That's too bad because it's a beautiful city. It really is. Well, you're not going to go out and see the Golden Gate? You know what? If I go out there, I don't have to go to San Francisco. Actually, I there's a small, very expensive town across the bay called Sausalito that I absolutely love. Beautiful little bucolic, expensive little town. Did I mention it's expensive? There's in Sausalito, by the way, there is a Dr. Seuss museum art store. Folks, let me tell you, I went in there. I freaked out. When I was like, who does these Dr. Seuss things? And he says, these are all made from originals. Dr. Seuss was a freak. If he was accurate, those twisted, evil-looking creations, he was freaky. I hate to see, look at real Dr. Seuss stuff sometime, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really look. It creeped me out. You know, these things look so evil and creepy. It was and wow. I was shocked by, this is Dr. Seuss. This is supposed to be copies of his original work. You know how they make copies of stuff, you know. The museum company is famous for doing stuff like that. But, yeah. And this stuff wasn't cheap either. And people were buying it. I'm thinking, what kind of freak would put this in their house? But that's Dr. Look, it just shows the diversity of this country. Just let me tell you. It shows that oftentimes we don't get the real truth until we actually see it for ourselves. Because otherwise, we absolutely, if you saw this on TV, it wouldn't, if you saw a guy coming through a balcony window and flipping over the balcony, if you saw that on TV, you would not appreciate it because you would think that it's what? A stunt, a movie stunt, or a TV stunt. Well, this was not. There were no cameras around. There was no director yelling action and cut. There was no sound man, no sound boom. This was reality. And we also often get the wrong impression of certain people that we have come to love over our lifetime. Because they have, you know, they have these PR people that give us a certain aspect of a person. And we don't know who they really are. So that when we walk into their museum and somebody says, yes, these are direct casts or copies of their original artwork, and it freaks you out, you realize you didn't know the person at all. Because you would not have experienced that or seen that or noticed that or believed it unless you saw it with your own two eyes. Maybe that's what it's going to take with all this multimedia censoring. People aren't going to believe it until they're hit by it, until they experience it personally. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to have to experience it in order to believe it, because usually by then, it is too late. You know, the big names always get hit first. They get taken out first. And everybody sits back, well, this can't be all that real. It's not that important. And then they get hit when they're the little guy. Then it's too late. By the time you experience it for yourself, it is probably too late. And I'm telling you now that it is starting with the big guys. Do you think CNN is only complaining about Alex Jones? No, CNN has been lodging formal complaints with Facebook and YouTube against Fox, against Hannity, against Rush Limbaugh. Now, Rush doesn't often put his stuff on YouTube. Other people do. And I have noticed that some of it has been flagged before by people. And this is how they're doing this, by the way. Oh, yeah, all this stuff has been flagged. Really? Well, we know that there are mobs of people out there that just do this on purpose. I've been hit by these mobs before. They go to a particular channel or place, and all they do is either flag or thumbs down. They don't even bother listening or watching. It's their job to take you out. Plain and simple, this is not conspiracy. This is real. This is what's happening. And when that happens, then now these wonderful little conglomerates of social media that have changed their algorithms and changed their rules so many times that you don't know. The video that you made 2 years ago, now which are completely within the rules at that particular time, now breaks the rules. There is no grandfather clause with these people. This video violates our terms of service. It's been up on your site for 7 years. Please, and they don't give you specifics. They always tell you, please review the terms of service. Whenever I get slapped by that, I don't even know what I did wrong. So even if I do review the terms of service, I don't know what part of whatever I did, the audio or video, violated what term. And they never tell you. And they're never going to tell you. So whenever I get something like that, I'm like, oh, what part of the terms of service did I violate? And then because they don't even give you a copy or a portion of why they're flagging it or taking it down, you can't even go back to see what you did or said. It's gone. No explanation, just you violated our terms of service. Exactly where, what, when, and how did I do that? And you get you can email them all you want. You will not get a response. I've tried. Which means it has nothing. It's kind of like the IRS. I'm sure they've changed their rules and regulations so many times on these sites. I don't even think that the people who administer this stuff know anymore what they really are. It's just they're going by an algorithm that says this was flagged 100 times. There's a problem with it. And instead of reviewing it, they just say, oh, flagged too many times, it's gone. They violated our... That's how they're doing it, folks. And that's a direct result of what they... And they don't even realize it. That's true democracy. Because you have more people downvoting it than upvoting it. The algorithm spits it out at somebody at Facebook or Google or what have you, and they don't even bother to review it. They just say, oh, well, we trust the people, and... There it has to go. That's democracy. No representation. Nobody reviews anything. Somebody just votes, and that's it. No questions asked. That's Alex Jones. Now, why has Alex Jones been targeted? Because he said some disparaging things about CNN. And CNN is full of a bunch of whiny, wimpy, mamby-pamby people. They can dish it out, but they sure as hell can't take it. They can threaten people, literally, on the air. Or let people that they report on threaten others on the air. And they don't try to stop it or correct it. But as soon as they feel like they've been threatened, because people don't show them love. Oh, I felt like my life was in danger. A nod to Jim Acosta at a Trump rally. Nobody was trying to hurt you physically, you idiot. Trust me, if those people wanted to physically hurt you, you would not have gotten out of that stadium without being physically accosted. Acosta. Now, if it were a conservative standing on that platform with a bunch of, you know, rabid dog leftists, yeah, if that were me, I'd be afraid for my life. Because those people have already proven and shown what they will do to people. Those of us on the right, we don't tend to do that. Isn't that funny? And yet, we're the ones that need to be censored, according to Democrat leaders. We're the ones with hate speech. We're the ones with violence in our hearts. We're the ones that don't care about people. Have you heard the new one? Oh yeah, you know, conservatives only care if you're born or not. But once you're born, they don't care about you. Speaking of abortion and right to choose abortion, that type of thing, choice. Oh yeah, now they're accusing conservatives. Oh, they don't care about you once you're born. They only care about if you controlling women's bodies and making sure you're born. And after that, they don't care about you. I'm not kidding you, folks. This is exactly their argument for keeping abortion. Because we conservatives, we're mean, we're cruel, and once you're born, we don't care about you.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
Ooh, love hurts.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. It's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Let's go to town. Let's raise our expectations. Let's prepare to be delighted. Let's raise a glass in our spirits. Most of all, let's have some fun doing it. Let's go to Kalamazoo, a big little city in southwest Michigan, a community like no other, where crime is high and old water pipes bursting will have us asking to leave. Where every hour and every day there's new crime to see or hear, drug deals and overdoses, police stations and jails running at full capacity all the time. Polluted water at the diner, detours from broken water mains that are sure to make us want to leave. Let's go to Kalamazoo and embrace all the crime this town has to offer. Because the times we savor the most are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.gov.
Radical Show.
It's been 30 years since the alarm bell was sounded for man-made global warming. That's the global warming part. Not. It's been a lot longer than that for, even though they didn't call it man-made climate change back then, it's been a lot longer for the alarm sounded for man-made climate change. But it's been 30 years since the alarm bell was sounded for man-made global warming. Caused by modern industrial society that we know of and love today. Predictions were made early on back then, and they were made on that day and ever since continue to be falsified in the real world. Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, Inconvenient Lie, Inconvenient Truth. The predictions made by climate scientists James Hansen and Michael Oppenheimer back in 1988 and reported as model projected by journalist Philip Shabakov, or Shabakov, S-H-A-B-E-C-O-F-F, constitute yet another exaggerated Malthusian scare, joining those of the population bomb, Paul Ehrlich, resource exhaustion from the Club of Rome, peak oil by M. King Hubbard, and global cooling by John Holdren. Now, peak oil, that was actually a New York Times bestseller, by the way. Same title, peak oil. This is from whatsupwiththat.com. And they're talking about all the failed predictions and scare tactics from the left to get people to believe in or to adopt global warming, global climate change legislation and restrictions. Folks, I don't know how many times I've told you, spelled out exactly why scientifically and historically all of this man-made climate change is a bunch of bullshit. It is a bunch of pseudoscience bunk. It's junk science. It's fake science. None of their prediction models have come to pass. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Now understand, computers just don't make up this stuff. They only spit out what's put in. In other words, the data that they put out depends on the quality of the data that is put in for the computer to calculate. If the data that they put in is falsified, if it's fake, if it's biased, then the results are going to come out as a lie. They are, and they have. And we've seen it time and time again. Oh, yeah, we were going to have a population bomb. Remember, back in the 70s and 80s, we were told this planet could not hold a population of 6 billion. Well, we seem to be doing just fine with a population that's approaching 8 billion. We were told, and this is something that people like Van Jones, yes, that Van Jones of the Obama administration, believes that there's an ideal max of population on this planet, and that's somewhere between 2 to 3 billion people. So we're over that. So even though we were going to go over the 2 to 3 billion perfect size population on this planet, the planet could not sustain more than 6 billion people. And we're now approaching 8 billion. And for the most part, we're doing just fine. As a matter of fact, even in places where people are starving, it isn't due to our inability to be able to feed them and house them. It is due to government corruption and war. But this planet, if we were to all of a sudden be at peace, everybody could be fed and housed and clothed. And that's 2 billion people over the maximum population, which is like 4 billion over the ideal, according to these people. But it goes on. Of course, you have the population bomb, then you have the resource exhaustion. Did you know that according to the people in the 70s and 80s, we should be out of oil by now? Not a single drop more should be available. Civilization should be at a screeching standstill. I kid you not. Anybody remember that short-lived TV series called Revolution, where all electronics and electricity just stopped working on the planet, and nobody, for whatever reason, couldn't get it to work anywhere. I didn't watch it because it was so dumb. I mean, it took these people more than half a season to figure out how to use steam power. Well, let's get the steam train operating again. Now, and that was years after the initial, power outage worldwide. So electricity didn't work on the planet anymore. Just didn't work. And there's some big conspiracy theory behind it. I'm thinking, really, is this going to be an alien conspiracy type of show? But evidently, yeah, electricity, you couldn't generate. It's not that we didn't have the ability to. It just stopped. Like there was a massive EMP pulse all around the planet at the same time, and just the power just didn't work anymore. But it took us at least a decade to bring back the steam engine. I'm thinking, really? These dystopian idiots who write this stuff honestly believe that humankind would not be able to resurrect steam power if we could not use electricity. Evidently not. But in any case, we were supposed to have run out of oil, and civilization was going to come to a complete and utter standstill and halt. Therefore, well, you know, planes wouldn't be flying anymore. But according to them, we'd have no more boats and no more cars. I guess they forgot about steam engines, too. And alternate ways of producing electricity. I guess they forgot about that, too. But anyway, so we were supposed to be done. Like 10 or 15 years ago. More than that. It was around the year 2000. We were supposed to be totally out of oil. Around 2000. That obviously didn't happen. We probably have found and are reaching more oil reserves than we ever thought possible. And we know where there's more of it. We just don't have the technology currently to get to it economically yet. But the oil that we're reaching today, especially in this country, in the USA, we couldn't get to economically 30 years ago. But we can today. And not only can we get to it, but we require less surface land to be taken up in order to extract it. In other words, we've widened our footprint to be able to get oil deep below the Earth's surface while being in one spot without having to move oil wells and rigs all over the landscape. Technology is a big thing. So now we've identified places that we can't get to yet, but we will be able to get to as technology changes and increases. Because we're getting the stuff today that we couldn't get to 30 years ago. So they forgot about that. Not to mention, you know, we were supposed to run out because every car, you know, still by the year 2000 was still going to be running at 15 miles per gallon EPA or less. We forgot about technology improving efficiency of every type of internal combustion engine, not just vehicles. Your lawnmower today runs cleaner and longer on its tank full of gas than its predecessor did 30 years ago. That's a fact. So even your damn lawnmower, your push lawnmower, runs better than it did 30 years ago. But of course, you know, you had also the peak oil. The oil was also going to be too expensive. And global cooling. Well, how can you have global warming and global cooling at the same time? Well, we didn't. We had global cooling before global warming came along. We were going to go into a man-made ice age. That is what they were trying to scare us into believing as elementary school students back in the day. You're going to freeze to death. And we all go home and say, we got to turn out the lights. I remember we made templates in school. Folks, this is how serious they were about indoctrinating us back then. Not an art class either. In science class, elementary school, during science class, the teacher handed out templates for light switches. We made light switch covers that you placed taped over your light switch that basically told us and reminded us to turn out the lights. I made a whole bunch of them, and so did my classmates, and we all went home and started plastering them all over the house on just about every light switch. And I remember my dad saying, what the hell is this? Well, Dad, we learned in school in science class that we got to turn out the lights, and when we're not using them, every time we walk out the room, we have to turn off the light because it's global cooling. Man, we're going to get into an ice age. And my dad would always look at me like I had two heads. Now, here's a military man who's out there fighting for our freedom every day, and he's wondering, where am I sending my kids to school? This is what they come home with? But I remember this very vividly. The first time he saw those things, he's like, what the hell is this? And I explained it to him, and he literally glared at me with those eyes like he did not know me anymore. Now that I look back on it, it was actually kind of funny. Global cooling? Now here's a guy in the Air Force who knows there is no such thing. But yet his son and his children and other people's children that he works with are coming home, plastering these things all over their military base housing. Yeah, base housing. Uh-huh. Now remember, the teachers at these elementary schools, even though they were on base, they were all civilian. Not a single military person taught school. All civilian teachers. All probably part of the NEA. Yeah, in the middle of conservative enclave, military base, you get a bunch of liberal teachers trying to indoctrinate their children. Now, they probably ensnared some of us, no doubt. Most of us snapped out of it and realized just how dumb it was. But at that particular point in time, when you're in third and fourth grade, you don't even think about it. You know, fifth grade. Come home and say, "Yeah, we gotta turn out the lights, man. We're gonna die of cold. It's gonna be permanent winter. I like summer, Dad." Because they get to your kids. They fill your kids' heads with this garbage, this stupidity. Now, before it seemed that at some point kids used to wake up and be taught the truth. Doesn't happen anymore, and now we have millennials. And now we have millennials who are 35 years old who still think and act like they're 13 and believe everything that they were taught when they were 10. You ever try talking to one? I have a neighbor. Hates Trump. She cannot tell you why. In a cognizant manner, she cannot tell. Well, he's a racist. Really? What else? And she just regurgitates every liberal soundbite you could ever think of. But she herself cannot tell you why she doesn't like him. As a matter of fact, she'll even admit, well, you know, hey, our business is doing well. I got a promotion because our business is doing so well. That's due to Trump's economy, right? The only thing that she doesn't do is give Obama credit for this economy. That's the only thing she doesn't do. So she's giving Trump the credit for the economy, but he's got to go. Because he's this, and this. Everything liberals say that he is, it's so bad and evil. And I'm scratching my head thinking, I can't talk to these kind of people because they make apps. She's admitting that Trump is giving her the ability to earn more by getting promoted because the economy is doing so well, which helps her do so well at her job. But she cannot give me a specific reason herself as to why she doesn't like him. It used to be that stuff just stayed in elementary school. Now kids are graduating college with degrees that believe this garbage. Same with the whole climate change stuff. Hey, we need to stop what we're doing. Why? Because dire predictions of global warming and sea level rise are well on their way to being proven true. No, they're being falsified, and by a lot. CO2-led global greening has occurred, and climate-related deaths have plummeted as industrialization and prosperity have overcome statism in many areas of the world. Oh, CO2 is a greenhouse gas. CO2 levels have increased over the past half century. But we're not burning up. Why? Because CO2 is not a greenhouse gas. It's a natural gas. During photosynthesis, our wonderful plants, the trees, the grass, the vegetables, during photosynthesis, they all exhale, so to speak, oxygen, but they inhale CO2, which means they need the CO2 in order to live, thus creating food and shelter for us to live. So CO2 is needed and necessary. And according to scientists, CO2 levels have been higher in the planet's past, including in the days of early man. Obviously, early man had no impact on CO2 levels. Just saying. Why is that a possibility? That CO2 levels were higher. Oh, plant life. Remember, photosynthesis. Guess what happens when the sun goes down? It reverses. Most plants inhale, if you will, oxygen at night and exhale CO2. The planet used to be covered far more with such vegetation. And when there are times and periods of less sunlight and more darkness, well, plants exhale more CO2. Thus, elevated levels of CO2. So in a way, man has had an effect on the CO2 levels by chopping down a bunch of forest and creating civilizations. And eliminating some of that nighttime CO2 creation. I'm not making this. This is just actual. This is what we believe to be actual, factual, historical science, folks. I'm just relaying the actual facts to you. Not making this crap up. This is just the way it is. So, you know, maybe they've been lying to us on that side, too. We know that they've been lying to us on the left side. Maybe they've been lying to us on the right side. Highly possible. It's plausible. Not denying it. But we know for sure that they're lying on the left. The ocean levels have not risen to cataclysmic levels. We're supposed to be, you know, New York City and most of the coastlines around the world are supposed to be underwater by now. You know, remember the movie AI? You know, with the robot child? New York City was underwater. That's what New York is supposed to be like today. It hasn't happened. If at most ocean levels may have risen depending on what type of unit that you use to measure it, at most 2.5 to 3 inches. Well, that's far from the 20 feet that Al Gore said back in 2006 in his Inconvenient Truth movie. Nowhere near it. By the way, we're also supposed to not have any ice at the North Pole or the South Pole. Conspiracy theorists, you know, ufologists were all aglow because they were expecting the ice to melt in Antarctica to reveal all the alien technology down there. The problem is the ice didn't melt; it got thicker on both poles. You know, Canada and Russia were about to go to loggerheads because, hey, they believed that the North Pole was going to be all open water. So they were trying to, we know that there's oil and natural gas under the Arctic Ocean, and they wanted to get to it first and claim it first. And they were frustrated because they couldn't get their icebreakers through the ice to survey the ocean floor up there. It was supposed to be open water. But their ships were getting stuck in ice. Again, historical and scientific fact right there. Unbelievable. But your kid's still coming home and telling you, Mommy, Daddy, you got to turn out the lights or you're going to kill the planet. I wish I was making this up, folks. I really do. Because then I could roll the credits, you know, directed by me and written by me and, you know, produced by me and starring me and all this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm not making any of it up. So there are no credits to roll except for the fakery is perpetrated by a host of fraudulent scientists. They're just a bunch of fraudsters. Al Gore has made millions of dollars for himself off of this fake, fraudulent, junk science. Millions of dollars. And people say, well, why would he do that? Now, this is the same guy whose family made their money off of tobacco. But yet, he supposedly hates tobacco. The last I knew, Al Gore's family had not divested itself from tobacco. So he's still getting money from tobacco. Yet he's supposed to hate tobacco. You know, I've heard of rich people turning their back on their money. You know, rich kids turning their back on their money and their family, and they don't want anything to do with it. And they don't take a dime from their family treasury, as it were. That's not Al Gore. They don't take a dime from their family treasury because of their convictions. They don't believe in it or they hate it. That's not Al Gore. He loves to take his family's money from a product that he says he hates. I don't know if he uses it. I don't care if he uses it. The point is that he hasn't divested himself from it, while at the same time inventing a whole bunch of fakery and lies, and then makes millions and millions of dollars off of lying to you and me, and then trying to get other people to write legislation so he can make even millions more. Think about that.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the Idiot Left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm a leftist elite Hollywood a-hole? If so, good news. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College is now open, featuring such courses as Unemployment is Not Paid Vacation. No, Americans don't want to spend $19 for an order of French fries and the ever popular Shut the Hell Up. Why, just listen to this big time celebrity endorsement.
I'm not Rosie O'Donnell, and I think this school's offensive, sexist, and racist.
And I think you're a giant a-hole who needs to shut the hell up. Hey, we teach a course in that. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College, where being an a-hole is not a guarantee you'll be an A student.